Good morning and welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Exchange Podcast. This is Kristen, your host. Today it is Friday, June 16th, and I am joined by Dr. Alex Lessard. He's here today to talk to us about the Audeo Datus program and upcoming conference, and also the future of Catholic education. So, Dr. Lessard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kristen. Very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We were just discussing off the air this word, Audeo Datus, which had slipped my mind, but this has an origin actually in Saint Augustine. So can you explain a little bit about what the name means and then also why you chose it for your new initiative?
Yes, Augustine is the father of a son named Augustine. Sorry, a son named Adeodatus. He named him Adeodatus as given by God or a gift of God. And Augustine came to see him as the child, if you will, the child who didn't have to go through all the mistakes that he did. He Adeodatus was chaste and wise and holy, and so intelligent and so wise that he was part of Augustine's dialogues after his conversion and was baptized with him. He died at age 17, so it was a heartbreaking thing for Augustine right after Saint Monica died, within a year or two, I think. So that's the origin of the name. My good friend Mike Foley and I have always had we were in graduate school together. We've always had a fondness for Adeodatus, as our we were both adopted, and so we share some
Yes.
element some element with the Adeodatus in terms of our origins.
That's right. And no canonization efforts have ever been opened for him?
No, I don't think so. There was no I don't know where the miracle would be, but
Yeah.
there probably was never a cult. There probably was
Right.
never a cult of the Adeodatus, which that's a very interesting thing. One of the things we'll be doing at this Adeodatus conference is not on the cultural side, because we do focus both on Catholic education and culture,
Right.
is an effort to renew the cult of Saint Viviana, the patroness
Oh.
of the Los Angeles Diocese. And we're giving every conference attendee a book on Saint Viviana with there were just a few prayers that were written within the diocese. There's a litany. So we're hoping to, and her relics are in the crypt of the cathedral here in LA. And but the devotion to her has really dropped off. She's a Roman, a 3rd-century Roman virgin and martyr, and we would love to see that patroness intercession prayed for consistently.
So one of the mottos of your of this initiative is renew Catholic education and you will renew the world. So I wanted to ask because I grew up going to Catholic school my whole life, and on the one hand, it was very excellent education, but there were also a bunch of problems we ran into, of course. So the secularization of the Catholic schools was first and foremost among those that, because of the quality of education, oftentimes people would treat the Catholic school almost as a prep school. And so non-Catholics would be sent there and it would kind of dilute the religious teaching and this effort to be ecumenical and inclusive. And in the latter half of the 20th century, this really seems to have been a universal problem. So what are some of the principles of renewing the movement of Catholic education? And is this a grassroots movement? Is this something that can be applied to homeschoolers, or is this focused more at the level of higher education and the university level?
Well, thank you. Very nice question. First, I would say it's universal, so across all ages and all states in life. Our focus is in particular on the on extending on helping to support the extension, growth, and acceleration of what has been a largely independent and lay movement in renewing Catholic education through independent schools, homeschool, charter, et cetera, as far and as fruitfully and in a rejuvenating way to the parochial school system, which is our great contribution to education in America, the largest school system in the world, topped out at 13,000 schools. There are fewer than five now, or right around five. But more damaging is that if you look at the number of Catholic students in Catholic schools, it's down 75% since the peak. If you take in, if you do it on a percentage basis, as the population has grown. So one of the things that you just highlighted, I'll call instrumentalism, the idea that you know, the prep school attitude, where an elite, where you're creating an, where you're mirroring an elite education for the sake of a career, et cetera. That, as well as materialism, which leads into relativism and nihilism ultimately, those two elements are the things that in a renewal, we'll get away from in some fundamental way. Because the core of Catholic education is, first off, we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we have the incarnate Word, who is the creator, and he sends his advocate, the sanctifier, to help us move towards beatitude. So happiness and the perfection of the human person in the image and likeness of God is the core of all education. Catholic education is the only, Catholic and Christian education are the only approaches that take into account the whole person any longer. And that means, that's not in a Deweyan sense, that's in a biblical sense, because we have a supernatural goal. And if you reduce it to material conditions and understand the person in a materialist way, you have truncated the person in a fundamental way that is, it leads to many of the problems that young people are so clearly suffering from now, anxiety, depression, not having a sense of meaning, purpose, goal, a sense of the path towards happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few, yes. Things we're hoping to work on.
Absolutely. And it strikes me with this very utilitarian approach that education, modern education, has really redefined itself as. Obviously, the suffering of the liberal arts in general has been a hot topic for a while now in conservative circles, and even just non-politically and non-religiously, you have even secular liberal arts under the gun and suffering in this extremely hyper-capitalist and hyper-specialized fields. So I, for example, majored in history, and this is something that, you know, you see majors these days that are just like extremely specific, just sub-genres of business. And can you speak a little bit to the value of liberal arts in your program, and also why this needs to be restored?
Yes, Catholic liberal education is, as Newman said, all knowledge is, there's a circle of knowledge that we approach. God has this in a single act of understanding, and the love of God outflows into creation and creates us to be able to know and love the world and him, the good and the true and the beautiful. So the liberal arts are a path and progression. It used to be the three ways and the four ways, trivium and quadrivium. And that's still, there's no better understanding of the path through education towards perfection and beatitude and the virtues. What we see in Catholic education at its best is the liberal arts moving towards the handmaid and the queen, philosophy and theology. And it's a lifelong thing. Think of the Summa Theologia is a beginner's manual. It's not what Aquinas could have done. It's what he did for beginners, which is extraordinary because we can't even, you know, it's so few people, it's so clear, and you know, Flannery O'Connor read it every night at bedtime just for edification and inspiration. But so few people are to that level. So Catholic education, the primary and secondary schools have to, their role is simply to prepare for this long path towards wisdom and towards, you know, all the virtues work together with prudence as the hinge between the practical and the theological, and the circle of knowledge is, as Newman said, if you take any one of these things out, especially if you take theology out, every other science or art will try to fill in the vacuum. So there's that. There's a hubris that comes into play once there's an absence of the order and of the wholeness of education. But then there's also the suffering of the judgment of the individual. If you're specialized, you don't know the relations of the parts to each other, and you don't know their place in the whole any longer because you've lost that wholeness. And so you become unable to judge even your own area. Your specialization becomes something you are ignorant of because you don't know anything else.
It's self-defeating.
So it's a very damning thing if you don't think this through and have the right principles at the heart of it and also the order. So that's one of the things what we did for this first conference, which is in Pasadena starting next Wednesday. And of course, unless you're local, it's probably too late to get here, but we have streaming options for both individuals and schools. And we're also talking to an entire diocese about bringing the resources of these talks and other supplemental pieces to all schools in an entire diocese. Is to go through the major figures of the tradition and its renewal, starting with Jesus the Teacher at the heart of Catholic education. Mikhail Waldstein will speak to that. His son, Pater Edmund, will bless our conference and introduce him. And we will go through all the way from Homer and Virgil to James Matthew Wilson will speak on Plato, Ed Fazer on Aristotle, Mike Foley on Augustine, all the way Father Spitzer on St. Ignatius. And we'll go all the way up to the renewers of education from Newman forward. And Paul Frinton is coming from Oxford to speak on Newman. Andrew Seeley will speak on Christopher Dawson, Dale Alquist on Chesterton. So it's all keynotes, all speakers of that level of quality. And we'll celebrate the entire tradition and its renewal all the way up to Pater Edmund closing the conference with a reflection on Ron MacArthur and the Berquist brothers. Mark and Ron were, and Jack Neumeyer were three of the founders of Thomas Aquinas College. So that's our approach to try to celebrate, retrieve, recapitulate, and renew the teachers and leaders' understanding of the tradition and in its importance in the classroom today.
Okay, very interesting. And I noticed that you mentioned before that this world of Catholic education has become quite decentralized, where it's these schools here and there being founded, charter style schools. But as we know, historically, the role of the institution of the church was so important in Catholic education. So I noticed that at your conference, you do have the participation of a lot of clergy. And is that in an effort to restore this proper role of the church?
Yes, absolutely. I think many leaders across this part of the Vineyard of the Lord understand this very well, that the parish is the heart of the Catholic life and of education. And when the bishops came out of the Third Plenary Council in 1886, the Third Baltimore Plenary, they mandated that every parish have a school. and every Catholic student either be in that school or sufficiently educated by an alternative that matched the excellence or the range, the formation in the faith and in the mind. And I think, as Father Peter Stravinskas has said, that's an 1886 moment. And I think we're there again. At that point, they were just working against not having a culture like they did in Europe. The Catholic culture wasn't obviously in America in the same way to support this. So that was one element. And the other element was that there were already attacks from Horace Mann, the Massachusetts Board of Education, to Prussianize, secularize, and put this instrumental understanding of education, its germs, its seeds are right there. They're already getting away from the Christian understanding. This Massachusetts had a law from the 1600s on about religious education, which was a good law if it had stayed. But by the 1800s, that's going away. So yes, our Archbishop Gomez will come and celebrate a mass, we're so grateful for. Bishop Fryer, we have Father Edmund, we have wonderful Augustinian Dom coming from Long Island. So there are many, many priests, heads of schools that are in parishes, teachers in parochial schools, and that really is our hope, that parochial schools and dioceses keep moving towards this grasp of the tradition and its implementation in the best way for their communities.
That's fantastic. Well, one thing that I've noticed at parishes, so my own parish, for example, has been doing this continuing catechism series where the priests will take an hour after the last mass, maybe once or twice a month, to teach the catechism, because obviously all of education has suffered, but especially theological education, and many are poorly catechized. So as you've mentioned, this is a lifelong process. My question is, what sort of resources would you recommend, or sort of programs of continuing education? Because oftentimes when the focus is on the school, it seems, especially after graduating college, you're kind of thrown out into the world, left on your own in this very utilitarian mindset of having to pay off those student loans, and your pursuit of the liberal arts and of the good, the true, the beautiful oftentimes has to take a back seat. So, I've noticed just you have to keep yourself accountable and, start a book club or something like that, and find ways to make sure that you are not neglecting that part of your soul. But as part of this renewal, are there any resources available to help continuing education for all ages?
Well, that's an excellent question, Kristen. And I think you're hitting on, in your own suggestions, this is something that, it's not just that education has to be renewed, but the culture that supports it has to be renewed. And it's going to be in those types of new formations that you mentioned, like book clubs, et cetera. I think the parish can do, what you describe in your parish is just wonderful. That's a terrific way for a pastor to keep his flock moving towards both religious and intellectual perfection. That's beautiful. And I think that's going to be increasingly important to have adult education within the parish structure. We have already been, thankfully, we've been added in for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles for catechetical certification hours. So any teacher who comes to our conference or views our recorded talks in an online library later will get certification hours for their CE. But I think we're talking to the Archdiocese of Boston about that as well, and a number of others. So we will try to keep creating these resources, but it is going to be exactly what you highlighted. It's going to be pastors and leaders and parishioners who had some part of this, but they still have a hunger for more, and they and they get together in, it's a local, it's going to be a local phenomenon, and organizations like ICLE and the Institute for Catholic Culture and many, many others, Cardinal Newman Society, and the Deodatus, we will try to provide resources for that to take root and flourish at the local level. But it is going to be just like the homeschool movement and the charter movement. It's going to be from below up with resources that that great teachers, wise and prudent teachers, can help with, as well as pastors can help with.
Yeah, that makes sense. I personally believe all colleges should give their alumni lifetime access to JSTOR, but
that's a very good suggestion. Yeah,
that, and then we just have to use it. So so we've talked a lot about the conference, which is upcoming this next week, I guess, already, but on your website it also features the agenda for upcoming conferences. So you have a 3-year program, it looks like, 2023 through 25. Can you take us through the next stages of these conferences?
Yes, and all of this, as you say, is at adeodatus.com. And what has come to, what's become clear is a way of getting back to the fundamentals over a 3-year period, and then seeing where things go from then on. So we'll cover the major figures of the tradition and its renewal this year, and then after the conference, we will publish a handbook on Catholic education and culture, which will include those talks in written form, as well as many others. So we'll go on to other major figures and minor figures in the tradition. And that will probably be 50 to 70 different figures. We're covering about 24, 25 this is live. Then in 2024, we'll go to principles, themes, curricula, pedagogy, culture, and look more at the content and the method that these major and minor figures have embodied as great teachers and lovers of the truth and of our Lord. And then in the third year, we will gather as many wise, experienced teachers and leaders together in conversation on the future of Catholic education in America. So it will be all conversations, what they've learned, what's worked, what hasn't, what's left to be done or done better. And how can we really revivify the great parochial school system in America? And then we'll go from there on to various other, we'll do a manifesto in year 4. We'll take all the wisdom that we got in the first 3 years, the first 3 handbooks, and try to boil it down to the essentials of Catholic education. And that will be, you know, it's been done in various ways before, but it's just good to do it in this particular time and place with the particular challenges that are both from within and without.
Okay. And will these handbooks be available online or to those who can't attend in person?
We have a major Catholic publisher that will be publishing those, but we haven't announced that yet.
Okay.
We haven't announced the publisher, but you will know, and it will be a great it'll be a great series. We'll actually have a book coming out ahead of the first handbook. My co-editor and board member Jared Stout has written a follow up to the Renewing Catholic Schools. He edited Renewing Catholic Schools for ICLE, and his latest book is kind of his own reflections carrying that work forward. And that will be the first Adeodatus book with this Catholic publisher, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, very good. So speaking of publishers, as the listeners know, I'm lucky to work at one of the Catholic publishers, Sophia Institute, and one of the conversations that we constantly have in this industry, and this is the last topic I really wanted to get your take on, is the role of technology in education and in this sort of third estate almost of the publishers in and this entire realm of education and the liberal arts. So, you know, we see the horror stories coming out of colleges where students have AI write their essays, and they're constantly having to find ways to detect that, although it seems to be pretty easy to tell when someone has not written something themselves. And it raises all these questions about plagiarization and the actual purpose of education, which is to develop the human person and the human soul and all of these higher faculties of the soul, which are not being developed when you outsource that to a robot. So have these discussions been had among the community at Adeodatus, and what are some of the challenges but also opportunities that you see technology presenting?
Yes, it's a major question. It will be a major focus next year. But even in this first, the first handbook will include an essay on Marshall McLuhan, who wrote his master's degree on the liberal arts, on the trivium. The reflections on technology are as old as Plato, and they've accelerated and hydra headed, if you will, in the last 20 years. But Sherry Turkle, Joe Weizenbaum, there are dozens and dozens of the Shallows by I'm forgetting the author right now, but there are so many great reflections on the way that tools have to be used properly, or they numb you. They numb what you know, where you the link between the tool and the person has to be controlled by the person and not the tool. And what the problem right now is that we have tools that are more powerful than ever to control us and to manipulate part of our natural progression towards knowing and loving God is dopamine and our physiochemical bodily spiritual combination in this human nature is oriented to happiness, which involves the perfect joy with all systems in alignment towards the light and the life. And so modern technology short circuits that by giving the impression or the experience of joy without the actual content. And it's or not even joy, but you know, the satisfaction or the sense of achievement, the dopamine hit from the like on a randomized basis in a Pavlovian sort of way is extraordinarily effective. That's what TikTok and Facebook and all the others have figured out. And so we do have to figure out a way to take, let's call it at least an Amish approach in the way of judging technology, doing our due diligence, figuring out when and where and how we use these tools. I use an iPhone every day for prayer, for meditation. But I don't have any notifications. You cannot ping me. If you don't at least do that, you're in very difficult straits, because you're at the mercy of the race to the bottom of the brainstem, as one of these founders called it. So it's an ongoing reflection that everyone in education has to have. Technology in the classroom should really not be, there's no evidence that technology helps anybody in the classroom. Law schools forbid laptops in their classrooms now. Physical note taking has a more effective it's more effective in knowing, in going from short term to long term memory. Sleep is incredibly important. So there are all sorts of biological, physical, psychological, and all the lower and higher things together that we'll want to focus on.
Well, such excellent ways of putting it. I'm going to remember that race to the bottom of the brainstem for a long time. So thank you so much again, Dr. Lessard, for joining us. Lots to think about here. Remind our listeners where they can follow your work and that of Adeodatus.
Yes, adeodatus.com. I'm at alex@adeodatus.com. If anyone wants to reach out, if you have any questions about either the conference, its streaming, whatever. But also, this is a long-term work, and our resources will be growing rapidly. We have excellent partnerships with Cardinal Newman Society and others that we will work together on. We'll do a Eucharistic project next year with the Cardinal Newman Society. So there, adeodatus.com will be the place to look for that, and we will see where it all goes.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you again, and thanks to all of our listeners. We'll see you next time. God bless.